So the next person to talk would be Melanie Nepash. Then Bianca Albert and Tyler Rudolph. Is Melanie...
Wajek. First, I want to thank the Talimin that are here, standing for their chaplains. Says Nasum no Duksnyagut now, Shen Gitbazmun after Mbuyande and your chaplains. Thank you to the panel, COMEX, for being here today to hear my testimony. And of course, to the forestry companies that are here, the reps. Welcome to Aswanpi. My statement pertains to, first I'll mention my father is George Nepash. I'm a family member of W10 Trapline. I'm also the youth chief of this community, Wiswanipi. And I'm going to begin with when I was a child, being out on our trapline, W10. We have a campsite. It's called Lucky Strike. I'm sure a lot of those Wiswanipi members are familiar with this camp. My father and my grandfather has allowed the Wiswanipi members to go to this camp and to fish. The fish is very abundant there. Not that I'm giving out any fishing spots. No, but it's true. I have seen Wiswanipi men come see my father or my grandfather and request for them to go to this camp. I remember as a little girl, I was probably 4 or 5 years old, just behind our camp, my grandfather's camp, there's a stream there. And I remember I used to tie a string on a stick and a hook. And I used to go back there with my siblings. And all you had to do was soak your hook down and pull it out, and you would pull out walleyes, trouts, and the numbers, great numbers. But my grandfather would always tell us, don't overfish in that stream, just take what you need. So that's what we would always do. We would always fish back there as a little girl. I actually, last year on our goose hunt, I really wanted to go back there, so I did. We no longer have that camp there. It's kind of torn down now. We located to a different area now. And when I went back there, it was very nice, but very emotional all at the same time. And I went back to that stream. It was bushes everywhere. And I wanted to do what I usually did when I was a kid, was to just look over. And you could see the walleye and the trout swimming in the stream. And I did that. But there was nothing there. It was all gone. And to me, when I think about impact, I think about that. I think about the roads that are made today that were made long ago, to up to when I was 4 or 5 years old, right? That place is overfished. And at the same time, too, the disruption of the logging trucks that drive on that main road could have disrupted that as well. The other thing I want to mention is last year in the fall time in our moose hunt, I brought my son. My son, he's 8 years old. His name is Atreyu. And we went fishing out on the lake. And it was the first time he caught his fish, his first fish. He was so happy. He just shouted out in the lake very loud, I caught a fish, she was saying really loud. And it's so touching because it's your own kids, you know. You're bringing them out on the land. And that's what is affected here. You know, you make a road and the potential of poachers, non-native camps being built. You know, we have geologists come in. They do their research there. We have logging trucks coming there. You know, there's a lot of disruption as to our way of life, our rights, our Cree rights, fishing, hunting, trapping rights have been disrupted for a very, very long time. And I'm referring to all of us, the Wswanipi people. Forestry operations have disrupted our rights for very, very many years. And we do have... Mandy is a relative of mine, and when she was referring to my grandfather's trap line, Clarence Gall, it's true. I remember seeing, you know, the logging. When there's no trees anywhere, nowhere. I remember driving by a mining, what do you call those, waste. We would drive right by the mining waste to get to our camp. Right now, there's only grass there. That's where Winnisagnash's camp is, Short Lake, that area. You drove by there. And when I think about that now, and to this, right, in the impact assessment, it mentions for future mining in the area there where the road will be built. They mentioned that. And they're not even ashamed to mention the possible hydro development in that area as well. It's very open. Because that's how it is. That's how neoliberalism and capitalism works, which is the ideology that is run by these forestry companies here today. But not only that, but also to your society as well, the Quebec and Canadian society as a whole in this country. I come here today as well to mention, you know, to make it known the addiction to the logging that the forestry companies have to Quebec. Government as well. The neoliberalism that exists when it pertains to policies, you know, to allow forestry companies to go in, which is why we had the Barrow Moses Agreement. We needed to resolve the overlogging that occurred before because permits were granted. Someone once said that our culture could cause a social and economic crisis. Very popular anthropologist who has done many works here for Wswanipi. But I don't think that this is true, that our culture could cause an economic and social crisis for Quebec society. What is rather true is the addiction that forestry companies have to log trees. This will cause an environmental crisis. But once all the trees are cut down, I believe that you will cause your own economic and social crisis because there's nothing left. There's nothing left. How about switching it around? And I'm speaking to the forestry companies. How about investing in sustainable development? today rather than logging out our last intact boreal forest. Invest in sustainable development today. Come up with something new. Let's come up with something brand new. During the meeting, when some of the Talimen were speaking, I noticed that the gentleman over here was saying, and even from the chair, Mr. Chair, with all due respect, you mentioned that you want us to compromise. You want us to compromise our last forest.
I asked a question.
Okay, you asked a question. Already, we've already compromised 90% of our trap lines. What's there to compromise? You know what? There's only 10% left. We've compromised for many years. We have nothing left. You know, again and again, you come back, keep coming back. And again, I say, come up with something brand new. Sustainable development, something green. As Romeo Sagnas has mentioned, that our Cree rights that pertain to the JBNQA, affirmed by the highest law of this country, Section 22. This is a necessary step for comics, and I recognize that. I just feel like our hunting and fishing trapping rights, like it's not being taken into consideration. Our way of life is not taken into consideration when it comes to negotiations, hearings, even this hearing right now. It's like it's just swept to the side. I just have a last statement to make. I know how I've studied political science. I have a degree in political science. And I know how neoliberalism works and capitalism. It's very, it's like a parasite. I know that there's already plans to log the intact forest. It exists already because that's how it works. I'm not surprised. I know we're just talking about a road at this moment, but I want to make it known to the Wissanappi people that there's already plans and there's already a map that exists to log the last intact boreal forest. That's all I need to say. Miigwech.
I'll call for Bianca Albert, please. And again, thank you very much for your presentation, Melanie.